Our reading tonight is going to be taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, starting at verse 1, and we're actually just going to read the first 10 verses tonight, and depending on the church Bible, you've got the relevant page numbers at the top of the screen. So that's Hebrews chapter 10, and beginning at Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found, because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God.
Well, good evening, and thank you, Tim, for reading. I do want to let you know of two things before we get started as we begin. So, truth in advertising. We did read verses 1 to 10. We could have read verses 1 to 16. We could have read verses 1 to 40, because these are all witnesses, proof of what's being said in verse 1. So, truth in advertising, we're going to look at verse 1, and the rest is for you, to take in a bit later, but that's all we're going to get to tonight. Secondly, I've been praying and was asking the Lord about how we could just have a word from him this evening, and it seemed like a great place to start on the first Sunday of the year to talk about faith, because in all instances, it's quite easy to say we're going to need the lessons this passage teaches us throughout the rest of the year, and so let's start there. Now, so let's look at it as we begin, shall we? Because when faith is mentioned, we may have different ideas. What comes to mind? This word faith, is it a something? Is it one of these things where it's like you're holding it or you'd like to hold it and you'd like to look at it and maybe poke it a bit and say, what is this? Maybe it's something you see and other people talk about it, and you say, is this something I really need? For some of us, we may be asking ourselves, well, do I have faith, especially the type of faith that's described here? And maybe for another group of us, we might be saying, I think I do, but do I have enough to come to the end of the day? Because we look at faith as some sort of meter. And maybe we find ourselves bouncing off the E when, if it's something like that. But this idea of faith and the ideas that we have coming about faith, they actually remind me of a recent trip that I took over 5 weeks to the U.S. where I was born. And we were able to get a hire car that we had for the entire 5 weeks. Well, let me tell you. It's an exciting experience when you take four children into a hire car park and they say, you can have anyone you want. They think it's theirs. And to be honest, the parents got into the act as well. They're like, okay, so here's some silver ones, here's a white one, here's a black one. None of them have TVs. Okay, that's okay. They're all equal in that way. Well, this one's this brand and this one's that brand. So we start looking around. It's like, oh, this one smells new. Maybe it is. Maybe it has less mileage. This would be a great one for the next 5 weeks because we're probably going to be putting a number of miles on this car. But let me tell you this. Looks can be deceiving, can't they? So we get this new hire car, which is a people carrier, and we're driving out of the car park. We say, this is going to be great. Week one, side of mountain. Trish, the car won't come out of park. We're stuck here. All right. A little bit of working, a little bit of rocking. We get the car out of park and we get on the way. Okay, nothing else is going to happen to our brand new hire car that smelled, looked great, right? Week two. Does anybody else smell that? Another mountain. This one, the van did not leave. And so for our brand new hire car, it didn't make it to the end of our trip. Actually, we had to get another one. And for some of us, I think our faith feels like that. It feels like it might be smoking a bit. It feels like it might be leaking something somewhere. And we wonder, will it last? Will it last for the duration of this life? And the encouragement that comes from this passage is it defines faith for us and how we are to think about it. And it gives us the assurance that your faith in Christ will last and it will take you all the way home. And it gives us example after example after example after example of those who came before us that can attest that it's true. And so that's the purpose of this passage. We'll speak a little bit about that. But the book of Hebrews actually speaks about it from beginning to end. It's not just chapter 11. Actually, faith is not based on and reminds us that faith is not based on what we can just see with our eyes. That begins very early in the book. Actually, faith begins, as the book of Hebrews defines it, with that which is unseen. Those things we can't see with our eyes, we can't smell with our noses. And it gives the example here in chapter 11 of Abraham going to a land to inherit it that he'd never seen. It's an unseen, but it's a promise that he needed to trust God for. And so faith is the trust in God the Father based on the words that God has spoken concerning his Son. That's how the book of Hebrews opens. All of these things concerning the Son. And this faith is confirmed by the Son's coming. It's a proof, it's an evidence that it is true, all of these things that God has promised. And therefore, faith in the Son, whom we haven't seen in the flesh, we've read in his word, he's been revealed to us by God himself, he is trustworthy. Even though we cannot see him, at least yet, he is trustworthy. And having trusted in him, we have in this passage the proof, the results of that trust. And guess what? Our trust, the proof of our faith, one of those is even the gathering together in this room tonight of this group of people. We've come here for a purpose, to meet, to worship the living God. We trust, we believe by faith in who he is. And we meet here intentionally. And that visibly shows evidences of his existence. In short, it makes the unseen seen. In chapter 11, if you read on from there, that's exactly how the book of Hebrews is going to continue. The author says there's such a great cloud of witnesses to show that these things are true. And he speaks of those Christians who are gathering together through the ages. But why does the author of Hebrews give us 40 verses about faith in this particular chapter? It is so that he can encourage us with this list of, look closely, pretty imperfect people. They didn't have everything right when they began. In fact, they ask lots of questions. God, are you sure? And so we get this list of imperfect people in chapter 11 to encourage another list. And I mean us, because we have become a part of this exceedingly long list in history of those who've trusted in Christ. And it encourages us. And it speaks to us, because the word is telling us, turn your eyes now upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, just like these did in times past. And do you know what? You will make it just like they did. God has been faithful, and he will continue to be. Because we know that the gospel is not a doctrine of our tongues alone, but it's a doctrine that is of the life, our lives itself. They're bound up in this truth. And it's not grasped merely by the intellect and the memory like other disciplines, but it is taken in when it possesses the entire soul and it finds a seat in a place of refuge in the most intimate affections of our hearts. That's actually a quote that sounds really devotionally warm, doesn't it? Comes from a theology book called The Institutes of the Christian Religion and what the Christian life is about. And it's just humbling to think about this kind of intimate affection of the heart that is inextricably linked to the gospel and our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. But what is the link between our lives then and this faith? Are they two separate things? Can we compartmentalize? Because some of us try to do that quite often. And we may think, how is the saving power of Jesus made the affection of my heart? How do I link those two things? Because I don't see that taking residence there. The answer is really simple. Is by faith. By faith, the gospel is made the affection of my heart. Because by faith, we have the assurance that the gospel is a real hope. It's a real hope. It's a hope that's been made visible and seen. In fact, when we see the word hope in the scriptures, it's actually a shorthand word. It's a shorthand word because hope is rooted in the fact that the gospel is true and that Jesus is alive. That's the biblical definition of hope. When we say, I have hope, biblically, what we're saying is we believe that Jesus is alive and that his gospel has power in this life, here and now, and even in my own heart. That's why Peter wrote, we are born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Biblical definition. That brings us to verse 1. And that's where we're going to begin and end. So in verse 1, if you look down with me, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I want you to look at that and think of that as two halves, maybe two halves of a pie, a half and half. We're going to look at the first half first, and then we'll look at the second half. The first half, you can sum that up by saying, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. I think it could be appropriately translated is that it is the foundation of our faith. The second half, the conviction of things not seen, you can translate that, this is our evidence. This is our proof. And it goes on through the next 40 verses, the proof. But let's start with the first as the first. The first half, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the foundation of our faith. And the reason I say the foundation of the faith is the word assurance in Greek is really, really an important word in the scriptures. It's actually an important word in the creed that we just recited when it was originally written in Greek, because it's the word hypostasis. You don't need to remember that, but you need to know that the word hypostasis that is translated assurance in the ESV, it can actually be translated a number of ways, and it is translated a number of ways in the book of Hebrews itself. And there's been a lot of ink spilled on what exactly does this word tell us about Jesus and faith in this text? It's because the word hypostasis has a subjective meaning and an objective meaning. Meaning what I feel and know that is true and what is true in all the universe. And it bridges that gap and it brings those two meanings together. Because subjectively, this assurance that we have through faith, it gives us confidence, godly confidence, that we know what we stand on is right and true and forever will stand. But it begs the question, what are we standing on? Well, that's the objective sense of the word. It gives us a foundation, and it's even to its very definition, its basis is in God's being. Our faith is guaranteed just as the being, the existence of God, is guaranteed. That's the kind of foundation when we have when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. True and godly faith is in who God is at a foundational level. Our faith doesn't center around us. It centers around who he is. That's why it's sure. True faith is attached to God himself. And that's why you might hear so often, we might talk about faith is not ignorant. Faith is not blind. That's not true faith. Because true faith has its basis in who God is. That's where it's rooted. And you might say, well, how do I do that? How do I live that out? Well, start and continue to read in chapter 11. Because what chapter 11 teaches us is how this faith is lived out. It is to show us that faith is to see what God has already revealed, the truth that we know about him, and to trust that God will continue to act in line with the revelation of that truth. Now, that is a quote from a theologian, but it's really helpful to see that God works in a way that is honest and consistent with who he is. And so if he said something is going to come to pass, guess what? It will. If he says, go out, Abraham, and trust me, I will provide a nation through you. If he makes a covenant, guess what happens? He provides for his people a nation. He sees a covenant come to pass, even if he has to bring people to him like the sands of the sea. Faith calls us to trust, then. It calls us to trust that he will continue to act in this manner, that he will act toward us in the manner that he's acted toward those in the past. Well, speaking of the past, there was a Christian who lived a long time ago, and he was said to be one of the greatest preachers ever. I don't know. We'll find out one day. But his name was John Chrysostom. He lived about 1,600 or so years ago. And he said this, Christ foretold many things, right? If those former things, you know what, if they didn't happen, then don't believe what Christ has said. And then he continues on. He says, but if they all came to pass, which they did, why doubt concerning all the things that remain? Why do we doubt? Why do we not trust that all that has been said that will come to pass, all that Jesus has said, why do we doubt that this will not happen? Our brother from a long, long time ago says we shouldn't. Because God is a consistent, loving, providing, and gracious God that continues to act according to the words in which he has said. Because he's faithful. We trust Christ Jesus for our future because by faith he is the foundation today, tomorrow, and forever. But in the second place, and this is the much shorter half, in the first half we have this faith, which is the foundation, but we've also been given the evidences of this faith because in the second place, faith is the conviction of things not seen. Now, that seems like a bit of an obscure reference. But what it means is that faith is the evidence or the proof that God will see us through when we trust him. These lives in this chapter, Noah, Abraham, Moses, etc., they stand as evidence that God is faithful and he is trustworthy. God's preservation of their stories in this text does two things. It carries with it God's commendation, God's stamp of approval. This is what I've done. But it also stands to us as our encouragement that God will see us through just as he's promised as well. And let me show you an example of how God's done this. How does God make what's unseen seen in the lives of his people? How did he do that in this section? All you have to do is go to the next verse. For by it the people of old received their commendation. Verse 3. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. God made the world and all that is within it. Why is that the starting place for a chapter on faith? Because it is with God the starting place of where it all begins in Genesis 1:1. And the proof is this. God spoke in the beginning, and he made the unseen seen. Do you see that? By faith, we trust in these assurances, by the evidence of that which has been done. By faith, we trust that God made the world. How did he do it? He made what was unseen seen. It's the first and great evidence that is brought to bear on us. We must have a genuine faith in God that trusts, accepts, relies on, believes in what God has revealed of himself at any time in history, and then we act upon it by faith. Does it mean that life is going to necessarily be easy? Does it mean that all of our needs are going to be met tomorrow. Well, there's something that we really need to take a look at, and then we're going to be done. But it's this hope, this trust that these ones had, that stand as evidences to us. They were not looking for an empire to be built here in this world. They were looking for a home whose builder and maker was God himself. So the trust that they had, it was for him and in that place in which Jesus said he was going to prepare for us. And so we, by faith, we trust in the one who has provided a home for us, who's provided for us eternally. We have to turn our eyes to a bit bigger of a picture, a bit grander scale, because the hope that we have in him is that grand. So let's practice, shall we, as we finish. Here's a truth. God sent his son to save us. The proof that my faith rests on, that he died and he rose again, right? Therefore, by faith, I trust him and encourage others likewise to believe. That's the working out of this faith. It is showing that the evidences are making that which is unseen seen, and that can happen wherever we are. It can happen in this place tonight. We trust in Christ. Jesus is the foundation and the evidence of our faith. When we know we are not enough, he is. And here is the evidence that you will make it too. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for this evening as you've taught us some deep and weighty things from your word, and we pray that it would be greatly profitable in each of our lives. We ask that you would bless this time and that we would come as needy ones to Christ, eager to commune with him. For in Christ's name we pray. Amen.